Greeny, it is now official. Tom Brady will be leaving the New England Patriots.
The most accomplished quarterback in the NFL and the greatest coach finally broke up. Today, with Tom Brady headed to the Bucs, the inside story of why he finally decided to move on from Bill Belichick and the Patriots. From a reporter who has been documenting the coming split for years. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, March 18th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Hi, Seth.
Hey, how's it going?
Seth Wickersham is a senior writer for ESPN. Well, amidst everything happening in the world right now, Tom Brady single-handedly wrestled control of the news cycle, and in the process basically gave us in sports media a miniature stimulus package by announcing that he's leaving the New England Patriots. Seth, you have covered Brady forever. You've been to his house. You've covered this team for a while. What was your initial reaction to today's news?
I think it's been in the works for a long time. I think it's been in the works since training camp. And I think that people just didn't want to believe it. New England fans didn't want to believe it. Some media members didn't want to believe it. Even people close to Tom Brady didn't want to believe it. Even the people who did believe it in some ways didn't want to believe it. And yet here we are.
I should note here that all season long, Seth Wickersham has been texting me, I think this might happen, Mina. I think this is going to happen. And I've written back, really? Come on. Really, Seth? So you were right. And here we are. And as you mentioned, not everything's been roses in New England for quite a while now. And we'll get to that. But until I think this season, it didn't seem realistic to a lot of people that he would actually leave. So let's go back to the beginning of the year. When did that start to change?
Well, I think that he almost left training camp because he was so frustrated about the contract negotiations that were going on with the Patriots. For years now, he has wanted a commitment. And he has said with every ounce of sincerity that he wants to play until he's 45 years old. And I think that there's a part of him that felt like he had earned that commitment from the New England Patriots. But in lieu of that, he just wanted clarity. If you don't want me here, fine, I'll move on. But you have to let me know. And in the fall of 18, he signed what was termed at the time as a two-year extension. It was not an extension. It was essentially $5 million in bonuses that he never hit. And then this year, he entered the year as a $15 million quarterback on the books, which is astounding. In August, he and his camp were in negotiations with the Patriots. Again, they were not interested in committing beyond a year to him. And again, reportedly, he almost left training camp because he was so frustrated about it. But when he finally did commit to playing and sign the deal, he said all along that he was just an employee there.
I show up and I do my job. I'm an employee like everyone else. I'm going to show up this week and do the best I can do as quarterback.
When he said, I'm just an employee here, that was a little bit different. And everybody always knew that even though Tom Brady could say he was a player, just a player, everyone knew that he was Tom Brady. Everyone knew that he could talk to Robert Kraft whenever he wanted to. Everybody knew he could go to Robert Kraft's house whenever he wanted to. So it was always a little ridiculous that he would say that.
I find your point about him saying, I'm just an employee, really interesting because everybody knows that Bill Belichick is fairly ruthless, really, when it comes to, you know, how he manages personnel and his job as GM. He will move on from a star, a legend, right away. But it was always the assumption Tom Brady was above that. He was not just an employee. He wasn't just any player to Belichick. Do you think that changed at some point recently, or do you think that's always been the case?
I think it's always been the case, but I think what changed was Tom's perspective. I think the assumption was that it was Belichick who would be willing to move on from Brady and cut or trade him, even though we all knew that Robert Kraft was never going to let him cut or trade Tom Brady unless things got so bad that he had no choice to do it. I think there was always the presumption that Tom Brady wanted to retire a Patriot. And again, the past couple years, There's been a lot of turmoil in the building. 20 years is a long time to spend working so closely with a ruthlessly driven coach like Bill Belichick. There was one assistant who told me working 1 year with Bill will take a year off your life. And Tom's been in that system for a long time. And he's just tired. He wants to do something new. I think that's where Brady decided to take control of his story and change things.
Brady, you know, starts talking about himself as an employee. And I think this sense of unease sets in. Did that persist throughout the 2019 season?
He's a professional. Bill Belichick's a professional. Once they're there, they're going to do everything they can to win every week. But the season for the Patriots was a weird season. It was a weird season because their offense didn't pull its weight for the entire year. And that's very rare, especially, you know, the last half of Brady's career with the Patriots as they've become so much of a pass heavy offense dominated team. You know, obviously they had Antonio Brown. Brady was very excited to play with him. They light up the Dolphins with Brown in the lineup. Antonio Brown had been accused of sexual assault. Then a Sports Illustrated article comes out detailing all kinds of new allegations. And, you know, Robert Kraft, who says he doesn't involve himself in personnel and football decisions, makes a decision organizationally that they're going to move on from him. Brady was very upset about that. And I think Bill Belichick was upset about it too. They wanted to see what the offense could do with Brown. And so I think that that's one of those sort of hidden moments from the season that I think ends up becoming a bigger deal than it was. Because after that, the New England Patriots this year without Rob Gronkowski just couldn't get a receiver as open as they were accustomed to in the past. And so the offense just didn't play very well. You have to remember it. At one point in the season, it looked like the Patriots were, you know, they were talking about going undefeated again. And then they, you know, lose to Miami in the last game of the season at home. And then they come out against the Titans in the wild card round of the playoffs. The Patriots were beaten up for most of the game. And yet late in the game, the Patriots got the ball back. And it just looked like they were going to recapture the magic that we're so accustomed to seeing from Tom Brady. He hit a pass for about 20 yards, got them a little bit of breathing room, and then the drive just stalled. And on second down, Brady threw outside to Julian Edelman.
Right behind Brady, three and a bunch left before.
It was an out route.
To join Dorsett, Brady dropped back.
It was a route that's as old as football. It's a route that these two guys have run so many times over the years.
Short set, a throw to Edelman who drops it on the far side at the 45-yard line, turning to run.
And Edelman dropped the ball. And even though that's not when the game ended, it felt like the game ended right there. You could feel the air go out of the stadium. You could feel the wind go out of the New England Patriots sideline. It just felt that after 20 years, after all those Super Bowls, after winning and losing some of the greatest games in NFL history, this run was over. That's the way it felt to me.
The Tennessee Titans have come into Foxborough and defeated Tom Brady and the Pats 20-13 in this wild card round.
Seth, you were there. What was Brady like in the aftermath?
I've seen Tom Brady after a lot of losses. I've seen him after a lot of season-ending losses. He looks physically ill after losing a game that ends their season. But against the Titans, after losing a game that ended their season this year, he seemed different. Usually Tom waits a long time after the game to come to the podium. And granted, the game ended late, but he came out of the locker room like a hurricane. And he got to the podium and was in no rush to leave. He sat, he chatted.
There's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, so, and I'm not going to predict it. So I wish we'd have won tonight, and wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
It was just a different vibe that he put out there that I've ever seen before. And when he left and he walked out, he just had a vibe that he was over it. He was done.
So the Patriots are knocked out. Everything simmers down for a bit. And then it escalates again when days before the Super Bowl, Brady tweets out this mysterious black and white picture of him leaving or entering Gillette Stadium after the playoffs. Of course, Seth, that turned out to be a Hulu commercial. But while it was happening and everyone was debating once again, is Brady leaving? Where is he going? What were you hearing at the time?
At the Super Bowl, I think that there was a sense that he was going to leave. And nobody, again, nobody wanted to believe it. But even people who were at the Super Bowl from the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, talking to colleagues, made it be known that, look, they were going to offer Tom another one-year contract. They were not going to offer him $30 million for that one-year contract, as had been reported. It was going to be lower, $20 to $22 million. They knew that Tom Brady wanted a long-term deal. They know that he wants to play until he's 45 years old. I don't think they wanted to see him play until he's 45 years old. Bill Belichick wanted to keep this on a year-to-year basis. That was clear. They've had a long time to try to come up with a new contract. They had all season if they wanted to do it then, and they had obviously they left the playoffs early, and they've had all of January and all of February and into March, and they didn't do it.
So you think these reports about sort of the lack of communication between Brady and the Pats, certainly Brady and Belichick, I think we heard there was a terse phone call. Can't imagine there are many other sorts of phone calls with Bill Belichick. But do you think that was as much about Brady as it was about New England then?
There's long been a subtle competition to see who's the last man standing out of those two. They know that their lives and their legacies are intertwined, but they've always wanted to do it without the other one. I think that both of these guys knew that that was the last game that Brady was going to play as a Patriot, even if it wasn't official yet.
All right, after the break, let's talk about how the seeds of this breakup were planted years ago. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Seth, when did you first start reporting on Tom Brady?
I first started reporting on Tom Brady in late October of 2001. We had both graduated from college in 2000, and the editors at ESPN Magazine sent me up to Foxborough to write about this surprising skinny quarterback who had come onto the field because Drew Bledsoe had almost died in a football injury and had led the team to some wins. I went up to Foxborough. I'll never forget, I got a call from him from a 508 area code, which is the Foxborough area code. And he said, yeah, let's meet at the team shop at the stadium. And I had never been to Foxborough Stadium. And for those who have a hard time imagining what it looked like a high school field. So I got there and I wasn't exactly even sure where to go, but there really was nowhere to go. So I just sat in the parking lot and it was cold and there was snow everywhere. And who drives up but it's Tom Brady, and he waves to me. So he knew who I was, even though we had never met before. We go in, we talk for 40 minutes or so. I had not been exposed to a ton of professional athletes at that point in my career. And I had no idea whether Tom Brady was going to be better than Chad Pennington, but he had a real sincere confidence about himself. I'll remember he said, the games always come really easy to me. And that always kind of stuck with me because he played the game like it came easy to him, even if a lot of people never recognize that and scouts struggle to see it. Anyway, at the end of 40 or so minutes, we're leaving. The skeletal shell of Gillette Stadium is next to us as it was still under construction. And Tom looked at it and he said, I hope I get to play in it one day. You think about all that Tom Brady has accomplished in his career, and to think that he once looked at that stadium when it was under construction and said, I hope I get to play in it one day. That was always something that stuck with me.
So flash forward to 2013, Seth, Tom Brady has not only played in that stadium, he's won 3 Super Bowls. He is married to Giselle. You go to his house to profile him again.
He just told me to come to his apartment in the back bay, and I'll never forget, I got in the elevator. There was a security guard downstairs who let me in. I get in the elevator, and it just opened straight to his living room. There was no foyer or real entryway. It just opened straight into his living room, and nobody was there. And so here I was standing in Tom Brady's living room, kind of wondering what I'm doing and if anyone is going to be home. But a couple minutes later, I heard him yell from downstairs that he would be right up. And yeah, we spent a couple hours at his house. And it was an interesting time to be with him. You know, at that point, he had won 3 Super Bowls, but he had also lost 2. He had lost a year to his knee injury. He had seen the game move on without him. And, you know, his statistics had, the Patriots had started to see a subtle decline in his productivity. And, you know, they were wondering if, you know, he was on the downside of his career. And at that point, that's when he first announced that he wanted to play 10 more years until he was 45 years old. And he was hell-bent to make sure that people realized that his prime had yet to come. And sure enough, a year later, Brady comes back with his 4th Super Bowl and reminds everybody that he still owns this league.
So then, in January of 2018, you wrote a piece titled, "For Kraft, Brady, and Belichick, Is This the Beginning of the End?" How did that story come about, and what was it like reporting it?
In July of that year, so July of 17, I went to Foxborough and I had lunch with a very high-up Patriot source. And he had told me that there was already problems in the building and that egos that had never crept into things during that team's unprecedented run were starting to creep in. A lot of it centered on Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's trainer and TB12 business partner, and the TB12 method that Tom was promoting a lot back then. It was the first time in his football career he had really used his platform to speak to an outside business that had nothing to do with the Patriots. And then the other part of it centered on Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, what his role was. In the fall of 2017, Brady wanted a new contract and he wanted this extension that it turned out he never got. At the same time, the Patriots had his heir apparent there, Jimmy Garoppolo. And Bill Belichick had told the coaches on the staff, he had told teams that had asked, he had told everybody who asked that he was not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. So Tom Juneau and I, for ESPN Magazine, wrote a story about Tom Brady and the TB12 method. And I had been told throughout the entire reporting process for that story that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo was not going to be traded. And the day before that story goes online was Halloween night. Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded out of nowhere to the San Francisco 49ers for a 2nd-round pick. So my reportorial antenna went up and I really dove into trying to get to the bottom of why Jimmy Garoppolo was traded and what that meant for Tom Brady. And that led to the story that came out in January of 2018, where it turned out that everybody there was more irritated and more exhausted with each other than a lot of people had previously known.
Now that Brady's gone, Seth, where does that leave New England?
I mean, it leaves them with a massive hole at the quarterback position. I mean, can you imagine replacing Tom Brady in New England? It also leaves them with limited options. They don't have a ton of cap space. They've invested it elsewhere. I bet that they are going to try to add some depth to that position. But a year ago, they drafted Jarrett Stidham, and there's a lot of things they like about him. I mean, he's got some mobility that Tom Brady never had. But it's not going to surprise me one bit if he opens the season for the New England Patriots at quarterback in September. And that is going to take a lot of getting used to. I mean, we had the Deflategate suspension a couple years ago where Garoppolo got to play for 2.5 games and then he got hurt. Even for those of us who expected this, even for those of us who reported on it for a long time, to actually see the New England Patriots move on from Tom Brady next year is going to be jarring and it's going to take some getting used to.
Well, it's going to be jarring, but it also might lead us back to that age-old question. Who's really responsible for the Patriots dynasty? Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Now that we're going to see Tom Brady in another uniform and Bill Belichick will finally have to, you know, build this team without him, do you think that debate will be resolved?
No, I don't think it'll ever be resolved. And let me tell you something that our colleague Jeff Darlington, who's been all over this, said today. He said that getting a seventh ring isn't necessarily the first thing on Tom Brady's list in picking a new team. And for anybody who knows Tom Brady, anybody who knows what he's about, it's never been about resume padding for him. It's that he knows no other way than to be focused like a laser on winning every single day, every single snap, whether it's practice, whether it's in a game, no matter what, treating everything like it's fourth down and goal in the Super Bowl. And to hear Jeff Darlington say that, I thought was really fascinating, because Tom Brady will be 43 at the beginning of next year. Maybe his priorities have changed. Maybe for as badly as Bill Belichick wants to win a seventh ring for New England this year, maybe Tom Brady doesn't want to win a first ring for his new team. Maybe that's not the priority. Maybe working with a new coach, having some input in play calling, having some input in personnel, mentoring somebody, which is something that he never really did in New England. It's a fascinating stage that we're going to see Tom Brady in, even though it's going to take a ton of mental rewiring just to see him in another uniform.
Thanks so much, Seth.
You're welcome. Good talking to you.
Coming up, athletes test positive for coronavirus, as many struggle to get tested at all. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Here's another story I want you to know. Amidst all of the NFL news, the escapism that the sports world has provided was interrupted when news broke that four members of the Brooklyn Nets tested positive for coronavirus. The team put out a statement disclosing that of those four players, only one had symptoms of the virus. They did not name the players, but superstar Kevin Durant revealed that he was one of them. Even though Durant isn't playing as he rehabs from Achilles surgery, he did sit on Brooklyn's bench last week when they played the Lakers at the Staples Center. He told The Athletic that he's feeling fine. Now, the story is not only alarming and concerning for the players, but important insofar as it shines a light on two important facets of the growing pandemic. One, it doesn't matter how young or strong you are, you can catch the virus and spread it without experiencing symptoms, which is why it's so important for everyone to respect the advice of experts and protect others. And two, it's easier for some members of society to get tested. According to our Adrian Wojnarowski, the Nets paid a private company to administer the tests. But after Rudy Gobert tested positive, dozens of players and employees affiliated with the Utah Jazz were tested by state officials, spurring many to wonder how that happened so quickly amidst a national shortage of tests for coronavirus. An Oklahoma Department of Health official told USA Today that it was a public health decision, arguing they didn't give the team special consideration. And one doctor said to the paper that the athletes and team personnel might need rapid testing because they come into contact with so many people. That might be true. But even so, the discrepancy in who's getting tested and who isn't certainly highlights how severe the problem is. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.